Hi, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast, and give it up for your host today, JT Foreman.
Yay! Oh. Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I'm here with my good friend William the Lush, Lush Bow.
I've never been called that, but the Lush?
The Lush. You know what a Lush is. It's a guy who drinks a lot.
I did drink yesterday.
You drink a lot. Yeah. You drink a lot.
Okay.
I mean, you're not, what the hell's his name? The underage dude is writing a biography. God damn it.
Oh, Jeremiah Lloyd.
You're not a Jeremiah Lloyd, but you're, you know, you should trade names with him. He should be Lush Bow.
Yeah,
so he could Jeremiah the Lush, Lush Bow.
And then I could be Lloyd. I
don't know. Jeremiah the Lush Lloyd.
Yeah.
And William the Lush Bow, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm taking the first syllable from your name and making that his nickname. And I'm taking the first, so I have to take the first syllable from his last name and make it your nickname. His last name only has one. So I just have to take the first sound. It's a little,
you're probably good at Scrabble. That's some crazy.
I'm all right at Scrabble. I'm okay. I play Words of Friends with some of my brothers. I still say my brother Jake. My brother Paul's cheating because he keeps playing words I got to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And he played Quoys, Quois.
Yeah, I have no.
I know he works construction, but that's an architectural term from Middle Ages. Okay, I'm calling bullshit on that one. There's no way he knew that word.
I keep losing. Someone told me to draw a pussy the other day, and I drew a self portrait, and I still lost. I didn't understand.
I was thinking cat. That's not the. I wouldn't. That's the way I was going with that. I was thinking.
Oh,
cat.
Okay. This is why I stopped playing. This is true. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Okay. Well, I'm here with my good friend William the Lush Lush Bow, and we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 47, I would like to apologize to black people, meese, presenting, happy endings, and dinner out.
Yeah.
Any questions?
No, I mean, I hear this list like every week, and it always changes to a little bit, but you just, the black people, you're always, every week, you have to apologize.
Yeah. Well, it's and I end up explaining this a lot. It's like, if I make fun of black people, then I have to apologize to black people. If I don't make fun of black people, then I have to apologize for neglecting black people. So, I always have to apologize. Well, you know what, I'm a white guy, I probably owe some black people an apology for that. That's just the way it is.
And you probably, you maybe just assume that you probably might have, even if, you know, don't quite
remember. Well, I am a liberal, so I feel guilty about basically everything, even if I didn't do it, and so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out our previous episode, episode 47, and all of our old episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. You'd like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And people keep asking me, I'm afraid I have not been able to get into the iTunes store.
Yeah,
I have sent so many emails to them and submitted the podcast a whole bunch of times, and every time I submit it, I get an email back from Apple telling me that the feed is bad. But I've checked the feed many, many, many times. It works fine. But if you do use iTunes to download your podcast, if you go to the website and scroll down a little, there is a button there. You click on that. It'll open iTunes and add. You know, it'll just download it from my website. It'll add Bitter Comics to the list of podcasts that you're subscribed to and
under your iTunes account. So,
Your iTunes. It will that way every time you open iTunes and you hit refresh, or when it refreshes automatically, it'll check for new episodes of Bitter Comics. So.
But say right now we couldn't go on iTunes.
You couldn't go on iTunes on the store and search their store.
Okay.
And find it. But you can subscribe to it with iTunes. Okay. Just go to the website and click on that button. There's another way inside of iTunes to do it, but just going to the website and clicking on the button is so much easier that I'm not going to bother explaining the other one because it's just too much work.
Yeah, just go to the
website. You know, if you like going out of your way to do extra work, you and I obviously have nothing in common, and so you're just not going to be all that interested in whatever I have to say. You know, I'm a follower of what Mark Twain once said: "Why put off until tomorrow what you can put off until the day after tomorrow?" And I'm a big believer in that. I'm one of the world's biggest fans of boring and nothing. I like being bored.
Fan.
I'd sit around and do nothing and stare at the ceiling.
Yeah, your walls it's are really, nice. A lot yeah. of white walls around yes, here. Yes, yeah.
clean, nothing up there. You know, if I don't pin anything up, then one day when I move, I don't have to take anything down.
You.
Yeah, you know, if I had people here a lot and I wanted to show off or something, then it might be then I might be interested in decorating. But the people that I do have here are the ones who are I have as really just guests on my podcast, and I really don't care what they think.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, I'm upset right now, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Like yeah. looking at these walls, you know.
You're upset about the fact that I don't have anything
just,
on the wall.
It's just the inner questionably gay just coming out.
Questionably
of me.
Gay yeah, coming out of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just complaining about this lack of design. Mm.
Well, you know, it's what should I put up on the wall? So, I mean, because I'm a guy, so a straight guy should have naked pictures. Well, yeah, but then my girlfriend's going to bitch at me every time she comes over.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you have sports stuff up. Well, I don't really watch sports. I'm just not interested in watching a bunch of millionaires.
Just playing.
In tight outfits rolling around grabbing each other, you know.
I think
I just sports never interested me, I guess.
Yeah. I like football, but that's just me. I don't know why I do that. But you could put up a clock. A big clock.
I don't dislike sports. I mean, it's like the every year the Super Bowl, if someone invites me to watch it with them, I'll watch it. I can't sit and watch sports by myself. It bores the hell out of me. Mm. I can watch sports with other people because then we can talk about it. You know, I had this idea I realized that I am not a, quote, guy. You know, all the guy stuff that all guys want to do. I'm not really interested in all that stuff. So I thought, I don't really know anything about all that stuff. I thought, well, what I had to do is write a book about my guy education. And each chapter will be about a different guy thing that I go try.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what, so, like, there'll what be a chapter be, though, yeah. on, well, it'll be a chapter on, like, I'll go hang gliding, and I'll do a chapter on hang gliding.
How is that male dominated?
It's the testosterone thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I'll get like some former sports guys or some sportscasters to show me how to watch football. Okay, what are you looking for? What are the different types of plays and what kind of defenses are and all that stuff? You know, how do you watch football? Because you know, it's like you can sit there and you can watch it and enjoy it, or you can really understand the game from watching.
Yeah, I have a great
drive time, a race car. It'd be one parachuting. It'd be one. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff. But then. I was listening to the Adam Carolla show, and he had a guest on there, like Tom Stein, I think was his name, and he just wrote a book. He's a reporter for the New York Times or something, and he just wrote a book about that because he's straight and he just had a son and realized, you know what, I don't know any of this guy stuff. I need to go learn the guy stuff. Yeah. So I think he's straight. Well, anyway, whether he's straight or not, he just had a son.
He has a kid, whether he's straight
he
or not.
He has a son, and he realized he needed to learn how to be a man so he could teach his son how to be a man. And he went out and did all of these testosterone-inducing activities and wrote a book about it. I don't remember what the book was called either. I'll check it. I'll look for that book, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But I think his name was Tom Stein. He wrote a book about, you know, I had this idea. I was like, oh, that'd make a great book. And someone else did it already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
I think we should still have some, you know, have some little clips with, you know, JT Foreman, you know, trying to learn some man stuff, you know. It'd be an interesting series, you know.
That's true. Yeah. The biggest thing I need to learn how to do is to pleasure a woman.
Yeah, that's.
And I don't know if I want to post any pictures of that.
Well, that's a good season finale, though.
Picking up on a woman would be good, though. That would be one of the chapters. Is like I would find some guy who's really good at picking up chicks.
Yeah,
and then follow them around and see what they do, and they, you know, and get them to teach me how to pick up chicks. Because I mean, if you have a son, that's one of the most important things you want to teach him how to do. Because
I
think it's important because if it's a guy and they're straight, you need to know how to pick up women. If you're a guy and you're gay, you need to know how to say the words, "Hey, want to fuck?"
Yeah,
because you know what?
That's
you're picking up on another guy. And that line would work on me. If a woman walked up to me and said, hey, wanna fuck? That line would work on
me. See, I would be skeptical at first, but then I would definitely just...
Well, sure, why not?
Actually, I'd be skeptical.
Wait, how many of your teeth do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Afterwards, I'd be like, okay, I just did that. Wait. Should I have done that?
I just did that. You're referring to the woman as a that.
Yeah.
You know, if you say I just did that and you're referring to the woman as a that, then it's not about the woman.
It's that I had sex with a random person who just went up to me and said, wanna fuck. You know what I mean? That's probably not health-wise the best.
Well, you know, I have a friend who's a lesbian, and I won't give her name because I don't think that would be fair, but she has told me about going into the lesbian bars, and they don't even say out the words, wanna fuck. They just will walk up and say DTF.
Oh, really?
DTF is apparently short for down to fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll go into the bathroom and rub each other off and, you know, okay, done, and they walk away from each other. I don't know how prolific this sort of activity is within the lesbian community, but it makes me actually consider a sex change.
Yeah.
I think it might be worth it because you hear the stereotype about why do the lesbians look like, you know, Joe down at the garage.
Mm.
But that's half the lesbians. And the other half look like this friend of mine. She's freaking hot.
Yeah,
she's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I have to say, if you're going to be a lesbian, the least you could do is have the common courtesy to be unattractive.
That is so, yeah, it's terrible of you to say.
I had a friend, is another comedian. Her name is Joe Hyatt. She up in Seattle. And she once said to me, actually, she said this on stage also. She used to be a lesbian, and then she lost 150 pounds and became bisexual. Hey, she's thin and attractive, and suddenly guys want to have sex with her again?
I've actually seen that process happen.
I'm aware that men are horrible human beings, and myself being one of them, I get it. We're kind of shitheads, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not our fault. Yeah. We don't want to be sex-crazed maniacs. Because I tell you, you know, my dad said this to me in high school, and I'm sure other people have said it as well. I asked him why men are so stupid around women. He said it's because God gave men a penis and a brain, but only enough blood to operate one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a joke, funny, haha, but it's also true. Because even if it's not with a woman, even if I'm just jerking off, you know, I get a hard on, and I'm all excited, and right after I come, I'm like, okay, that's over. Where's the towel? I'm a little ashamed of myself, to be honest.
Every time, too.
Every time. And so, like, sometimes, you know, I get the heart on. I can't think straight. Oh, God. That's it? Really? You know what, ladies? You're not the only ones disappointed with our performance. We're disappointed with ourselves, too. Okay? So it's not just you. Don't think you're alone here.
Yeah, me, too. It's just like, the unfortunate thing about coming is knowing I'm just not going to...
Since I brought it up.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do anything afterwards. You know what I mean? All my plans are just delayed and everything.
Well, see, that's why it's important that you go and you get the gray gym sock or the towel and put it next to you on the bed ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, you're lying in bed, you're trying to sleep. Masturbation tips by JT. That's right. You're lying in bed. You know, I'm not going to jerk off tonight. I'm just going to go to sleep. And then you're lying there and you get a hard on. It's like, and now you know you're not going to be able to sleep with a hard on. You're going to have to do something about this. It's like if there's water dripping from the roof onto your head and just plop, plop.
Yeah,
plop.
Yeah.
It's going to keep bugging you all night until you do something about it.
Yeah, and it'll escalate too.
And you know, it will. It starts to hurt if it's hard for a while. Yeah. It does. I mean, that if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, go see a doctor. They didn't have to tell you that. If you have an erection for four hours, it's going to start hurting.
Yeah.
It really will. Blue balls is not our imagination. If we're kept aroused and not allowed to ejaculate for whatever reason, it becomes really, really painful.
Yeah.
And the really strange thing about it is that it's like pressure starts to build up. As I mean, I don't know why I did this, but I decided once that, you know what, I paid $20 for this movie, and I'm going to watch the whole thing. I am not going to let myself ejaculate halfway through the previews. I paid $20 for this movie. It's an hour and a half long, and God damn it, I am going to watch the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like every time I felt like I was about to come, I would stop and you know just kind of take a breath or two.
55 minutes ago. Wait.
Okay, and I start playing myself again, and about 30 seconds later, I'd be about to come again. Yeah. Wait, stop, let it go. All right, hold on. Okay. A couple times I almost lost it. I almost, it didn't stop in time. But I managed to make it all the way through. And by the time I got to about an hour and 20 minutes, I knew there was like 10 minutes left in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it started hurting. It did. It did, like my balls started aching and Shaft was a little raw. But I was like, no, I paid for this movie. I'm going to watch the whole movie.
Yeah.
I get to the end and I swear to God, it shot 10 feet when I did finally come. It's like you're building up pressure and not allowing it to release. Yeah. I think that's why it hurts, is because, you know, it's like your balls pump more and more of the juice.
Yeah,
into the nozzle, but you're still holding that nozzle shut and not letting it release. And so you're just like building it more and more. It's like if you put a kink in a hose.
Yeah.
And then when you let go, the first burst comes out real far, and then the water of the hose goes back to the. That's what happens if you hold off your ejaculation on a masturbation too long.
Yeah.
You start building up pressure.
It's inevitable. Yeah,
it's inevitable, yeah. So there.
Yeah,
that was a little gross.
You're
uncomfortable being alone with me in my apartment.
No, it's fine. I like how you went into masturbation sex tips with the JT Foreman, and then you went in that, and then you just went on a tangent. It shot 10 feet. Is how you
I hit the TV. I did. Oh, I hit the TV. But here's the thing. I didn't clean it off right away.
Yeah.
This is the point that I was trying to make before. You have to have you'll get the towel and everything ahead of time,
yeah.
Because when you do come, you're going to be too tired to clean up.
Yeah, you're not.
And you're just going to lie there. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone to sleep with a puddle in my stomach.
This is so.
And having to pull up a glob of crust out of my belly button the next morning. And, you know, it gets hard and sticks to the hair and it rips the hair out of my belly and it kind of hurts. So,
in some clothes.
Yeah, you got a shirt on. Yeah, exactly. So
do yourself a favor.
Get your towel or your happy sock or however you like to do it. And, you know, I like to switch it up. Well, the sock's not real happy.
Yeah.
But have you ever not wanted to make a mess so you just put the sock actually over your penis? It's like a cotton condom. It's just you put it over your penis.
Only inside out.
Inside out.
Because I don't like my foot's been in. You know.
Well, that's not a dirty sock.
Oh, I know. Just in
a clean sock.
In the what past. Is it? No.
Just, yeah, use a clean sock. I'm not sick.
No, it's gonna be clean.
Okay, man, I'm a little sick. Use a clean sock. You don't use a dirty sock for that.
Well, you know, some people might not. You want to put that out there, you know, if you're talking about this, the public.
This is horrible. You know, every episode I say, okay, you know what? I'm not that worried about keeping this clean, but I'm not going to go right for the gutter this time.
Yeah.
And somehow it always ends up right in the gutter.
Somehow you always end up saying, it shot 10 feet.
I swear to God it did. We're going to take a break real quick. And I'm going to wash my mouth out with soap. I'm JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William the Lushbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so how's it going, Will?
Yeah, it's going great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, you've been promoting some shows recently. You're a stand-up comedian as well, but in the last couple months, you started promoting some shows. Where are you doing those at?
We're starting to do them at Fulton 55, which is on Divisadero and Fulton in Fresno.
Downtown?
Yeah, well, it's kind of more so south of Tower District, next to the Ironbird Lofts.
Oh, okay. I think I know where that is. It's like kind of on the border of Tower District and downtown.
Yeah, it's right there on Divisadero. And it's been fun. It's been going really well. We had a Mary Van Note from San Francisco just this past Thursday.
I've heard that name before, but I'm not familiar with it.
She had an IFC web series, and we had a terrible turnout, and she probably hates my guts. She came.
So. Did she get paid?
Yes.
Okay, well, yeah. There you go. Yeah. See, that's one thing is that my attitude about it, whenever someone hires me to do a show, if there's one person in the audience or 1,000, did I get paid? I did? Okay, cool. It's a good show.
Yeah, see,
but of course, I don't know. I mean, if this was, all right, I'll come and do the show, but I want 50% of the ticket, and then you only have 5 people in the audience, okay, then I might be pissed. But
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. Like, actually, she has been halfway paid, and because that's all I made there. But I'm mailing through the internet the rest of it.
Okay, so
this week
you didn't have all the money to pay her right then, but she is getting paid.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know her personally, but I think I would be understanding of that just because I'm on the broke end of comedy.
Yeah.
So I get being broke, but I can see how she might be mad. But
oh yeah, yeah.
But.
Hopefully yeah. not, but you know.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Oh, well.
But, okay, well, so what other shows do you got?
Well, we're going to keep doing them at Fulton 55 the first and third Tuesday. We're going to start doing an open mic. And you're actually on a show June 25th. We're going to start doing 2 Mondays out of the month.
Yeah.
If you're aware of this.
Yeah.
You're
on the, yeah, June 25th, I'm going to be performing at Fulton 55. And who else is going to be on that show?
Byron Campbell is going to be headlining. Yeah,
Byron.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'm actually planning on writing a web series with him.
Yeah,
show.
Oh, title. Yeah? About
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's just Byron Campbell show. Just
the Byron Campbell show?
Yeah.
Oh, is it going to be an interview thing or
it's going to be
sketch show? Or
Yeah, not a sketch show. More so kind of a mockumentary, kind
okay,
of.
Cool,
but it's
cool.
it's just Byron Campbell, you know.
It's a mockumentary about Byron Campbell?
Yeah, web series, yeah. Probably it can range like 3-minute episodes.
Cool.
Writing 6 right now. But yeah, we have the Monday shows coming up in June.
So you have like regular shows on Thursdays or
No, we're just going to do the second and fourth Monday as like a book show, and then the first and third Tuesday is open mic.
Oh, okay. So it's Mondays and then
and
the second and third second Sorry.
Just fuck the arithmetic and just
damn it. Okay, every other Monday is going to be an open mic, and the other Mondays are going to be a booked show where you have a professional, you know, comedian drag in here from L.A. or San Francisco or something.
Yeah, it's actually kind of wrong. the Tuesdays,
damn it.
First and third Tuesdays open mic, second and fourth Monday book show. But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You will hear about it on the street. I am handing out flyers on the street constantly.
Okay, cool.
So if that's how you'll... That's how
and
you'll
I'll post in the show notes the correct information. And
Do
you have a website for your Fulton 55 shows or a website for yourself? Or?
Fulton 55 has their own website.
Okay.
And they
post the info about all the shows.
Yeah,
there.
They have a whole calendar.
I'll be sure to put a link to their calendar in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, they primarily just have us on the Mondays and Tuesdays because it's just slow and no one chooses those days.
The owner of the place is like, well, I don't know if this guy's gonna actually do anything, but we're not doing any business on Mondays anyway.
Yeah, it's kind
so
of
so the
yeah.
worst thing that happens is that you know, nobody shows up and we sell a couple of drinks to him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly like that's how I pitched it too. I go, would you like us to do the open mic? The worst thing that could happen is that comedians will buy drinks. Like that's the worst.
Yeah.
So
it's like anyone who was going to be there anyway will still be there.
Yeah.
Anyone who actually shows up for the show. Well, that's extra customers.
Yeah.
And the comics probably wouldn't have been there, but they're going to be there now. Mm-hmm. And so they'll buy a couple of drinks. Comedians are notorious alcoholics. They're going to buy plenty of drinks.
Yeah.
They don't have money for anything else, like paying the other comedians they hire, but they have enough money to buy drinks for themselves. I'm sorry. That was low. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, drinks. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and you don't buy drinks over the internet. I mean, you could always do the
internet.
That's
true.
Yeah,
that's
you
true.
Could always, yeah. So.
Buy drinks over the internet. Yeah. It sounds like a great idea. You know, if there's places you can order drinks on the internet, 18-year-olds will be ordering.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that happens a lot. You know, it's like you get a hold of, if you have a credit card, you order alcohol over the internet. And I bet that happens a lot.
We need to find out.
Mail order booze. Neither of us are underage, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Well, I care about the youth. Kind of.
You care about the youth.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they're covered.
Yeah,
that's nice. Of you. You know, this is a generous soul here, William. He actually likes to hang out outside of liquor stores and wait for teenagers to come up to him because he's a giver. He's a helpful guy.
I just like, offer. Yeah. I'm like, excuse, like if I see a teenager walking, yeah, excuse me. Excuse
some kid
me.
Walks out with a candy bar and is like, hey, did you want a beer too?
Yeah.
No, you sure?
And then I'm just like, don't worry, I'll buy it for you. It's
this, all right, ask your mom. It's okay, I'll wait.
Yeah. I actually get the when I'm walking around, I'll get the hey fool, you want to buy us a blunt wrap, fool?
A blunt fool? Yeah. He's asking you to do him a favor and he's calling you a fool.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's even worse because, you know, drinks, you know they're not 21.
Yeah.
But when he's asking me to buy him a blunt wrap, I know he's not even an adult. Like,
he's not even 18.
He's a child, yeah. So, and then so I hand him the blunt wrap. And
so you get the blunt wrap, you give it to him, and you say, yeah, no, make sure you get to school tomorrow.
don't be late. That's what I could say.
Yeah, it's like the 80s remake of the movie version of Dragnet. There was this one scene where Dan Aykroyd, he's playing the main character, and the cop who's, I can't remember his name, but he's standing on the road and he's smoking a cigarette, and some teenage gang members come up to him and say, "Yo, can I have a Holmes? Give me a cigarette?" And he's like, "No, I'm sorry, you're underage, and plus, this is a bad habit. I really shouldn't be doing it myself." And they decide to rob him, so he beats the crap out of all of them. They all run away, and he just kind of shakes his head and says, "On a school night."
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, hey, what other shows you been doing? Like, you just, I know last night we were at Zenwalk Fusion. Zenwalk,
yeah. Think, yeah.
How long? I mean, is he? How long has he been doing the show there? Is that
one's only been around like a few weeks. Yeah. Eddie Trevino did a one charity night there that went really well, and then
it's amazing that everyone comes to the charity shows, but how dare the comedian actually want to make money for himself? I never understand that. Why the charity shows always seem to sell out, but if I'm actually going to be able to make some money so I can pay for things like rent.
Yeah.
No, you don't deserve to make. What the hell is that?
They pay a lot for those charity shows too. Like,
yeah, the charity, they do always charge a lot for the. You know, I think that's what I'm going to do. Is like, I'm going to become a charity show booker, and I'm going to take like 50% as my handling fee or something.
Yeah.
And I'll book a bunch of shows. I'll charge $100 a ticket. Society.
Yeah.
And then I'll create my own. Can't believe it. That was genius how you faked your own death like that, Andy.
Yeah.
Do you know much about Andy Kaufman?
Somewhat. I'm really mainly the thing that I got into the most was when he did the intergender wrestling.
Oh, and he'd wrestle women?
Yeah, wrestled women. Yeah. That was, I mean, I watched that whole piece, and I've seen a couple of other stuff on YouTube and whatnot. But
he wanted to be a wrestling villain, but he's obviously, he's just not big enough to be a wrestling villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll wrestle women. And, he talks a lot of misogynistic crap, and if you believe the biography about him, it really turned him on, wrestling these women, and he, in more often than not, he would fuck the chick afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard he got in trouble for like that. Someone was mentioning like that those women thought it was just going to end up being like a bigger joke. Were they real contestants or were they?
Well, there was women in the audience, and he would start talking a lot of smack about them.
Yeah.
Women can't wrestle. Fuck women. Those bitches. They blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
They get pissed off
and they go up there, and then while he's wrestling with them, he'd be talking, "Oh, baby, I want to. You're so fucking
hot. Really?
I'm gonna fuck." And they would get all, because he's whispering with him, whispering all the stuff in her ear when they're wrestling around. She would get distracted by it, and he knew how to wrestle, so he was a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. So he'd end up winning, and then of course he would end up fucking him after the show.
Oh yeah,
more often than not.
I didn't know the fucking him part because I never. You read his biography?
No, the guy who was his head writer. I can't remember the dude's name now. I wish I were better with names.
Writer?
I can never remember anyone's name. He was on Mark Maron's podcast, WTF Pod, recently, and he was talking about it. But we're gonna take another break here real quick. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William the Lush Bow. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, I just looked it up, and the guy's name was Bob Zamuda. He was a friend and head writer, I guess, for Andy Kaufman. And it was an interview with him on a recent episode of WTF Podcast with Mark Maron. Check out that interview, actually, if you want to know about Andy Kaufman. It was a great interview. And take a look at the... Bob Zamuda wrote a book a while back about Andy Kaufman, so if you're interested in what Andy Kaufman's career was like, check that book out. Just look it up by author, Bob Zamuda, Zmuda. All right, so do you want to get to the news?
Yeah.
All right. Do a couple of news stories here. A Los Angeles Police Department detective completed a 24-hour ride on a Ferris wheel early Friday in an effort to break the Guinness World Record for the longest ride on a Ferris wheel and raise money for charity. Yay.
Oh, a police officer did
Yes.
this.
Well, it's Detective Gus Martinez, who has been in the LAPD since 1994, was on the 130-foot-tall Pacific Wheel Ferris for 25 hours, 7:30 a.m. Thursday to 8:30 a.m. Friday. In an attempt to raise funds and awareness for Special Olympics Southern California. He's no good for undercover work anymore.
Oh.
Good work,
yeah,
asshole.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what? I'm going to go deep undercover into this drug ring. We're going to catch these people. We're going to stop the smuggling of... We're going to stop the human trafficking. This shit's not going to happen anymore. Not in my town. Hey, dude. Yo, what's up? Aren't you that dude on the Ferris wheel for 25 hours? What the fuck is that shit, man? You took a break every couple of hours to go to the bathroom and eat. That ain't 25 hours in a row. That's bullshit.
Yeah. He's
oh, by the way, I'm going to have to bust a cap in your ass because you're a cop.
That's exactly what's going to happen in the future.
I bet it's going to be a white guy doing a really crappy Mexican accent, just like
yeah,
I did too.
Yeah, yeah. The guy in the truck.
It's not going to be a real Mexican. It's going to be a white guy doing an accent as crappy as mine.
What the fuck, man? I have to bust a cap in your. You do such.
Is that even the term? Still,
I don't know. I haven't played Grand Theft Auto in a long time or anything. So, yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's where I get all of my street slang from. Yeah. It's from Grand Theft Auto 3. So if I got this wrong, you know, sorry. We're going to smoke him.
What are other ones?
Yeah, actually, I get from the movie. Yeah. He's going to get gonna waste
wasted.
Him. Waste this prick.
Yeah.
Well, he stayed on the gondola for an extra 30 minutes. So the record was 24 hours and 30 minutes set in October in Dublin, Ireland. So he did 25 hours. He was periodically joined on the Ferris wheel by his 23-year-old son, James, who has Down syndrome. His son, James, has won more than 30 gold medals in the Special Olympic swimming competitions. Early on, doctors... Okay, quote from Martinez about his son. Early on, doctors would tell us when he was two that he's not going to walk, he's not going to talk, he's going to have limitations. That all went out the window if you look at him today. So, you know, the doctor says he's never going to be able to walk. Well, he's running the Special Olympics now. You know, I think the doctors tell everyone that just so they don't get their hopes up too much.
Yeah.
But
it's not about joining.
Here's the thing, though. He received a 5-minute hourly break during his 24-hour ride.
Okay, that doesn't
count.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. Okay, fuck you, dude. I don't give a shit if it's for the Special Olympics or not. You didn't do 25 hours a row on a Ferris wheel.
You did
55 minutes on a Ferris wheel and got off for 5 minutes. Then you got back on, did another 55 minutes on the Ferris wheel and got off for 5 minutes. You didn't do 25 hours in a row.
And I don't like when people do this. Like, the record you said was 24 hours and then 30 minutes. And he tops it by 30 minutes by doing 25, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're just being a dick at that point. You're literally just trying to one-up someone by just a little bit. Like, if you wanted to, like, do something, do like 30 hours, 35 hours, you know.
Yeah.
Make it a big...
Yeah, break the record for real. This is the same asshole on The Price is Right who bids $1.
Oh, yeah.
Or bids $1 more than the next highest bid. It's like, you know what? I have no idea. I'm too stupid to actually guess what the price really is. Mm-hmm. But if I bid, I think you guys are all over, so I'm just going to bid $1. I'm going to puss out.
Yeah.
Or I think you guys are all under, so I'm going to bid $1 over the largest one just to be a dick. That's what this guy did with his record. I agree with you. But you know, he got food and received the 5-minute hourly break. That's bullshit. I'll put a link to the show notes for the event's website. One thing is you can make donations to the event. The money's going for Special Olympics and so, you know, okay, cool. It's a good cause. So I'm glad you're doing that. I still say the record is bullshit. But, okay, I'm glad you're helping a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
All donors to the event will receive a $10 off coupon to the Sports Authority, which means you should all go. If you shop at the Sports Authority, you should go make a $5 donation and get the $10 discount card for the Sports Authority, and so you'll make some extra money. You'll actually make money off of doing that donation.
Unless you just
also nothing there. Yeah, once your online donation is confirmed, each donor gets to guess how many rotations the wheel made in that 25-hour attempt. The person closest without going over, see, this is this one more than everyone else bullshit, will receive a private one-hour ride on the Pacific Wheel Ferris Wheel during non-operating hours with four guests and a meal from the Red Lobster restaurant.
Okay.
Or actually, the article just says the Lobster restaurant. I don't know what the Lobster restaurant. It doesn't say
Red Lobster. Maybe it's a local. It's just
Lobster. But yeah, you know, do you want to ride on the Ferris wheel for an hour? I mean, if I won this, it's like, okay, I get a 1 hour ride on the Ferris wheel. After 1 hour, I'd be like, well, might as well stay on and go for the record.
Yeah,
I mean, I did an hour, so I've done 5 minutes more than this asshole really did.
Exactly.
You know, so. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of things wrong with this story. This guy's no good. I mean, the police department should like fire him or move him to a desk job now. He's a detective, but he can't do any undercover work anymore.
Yeah, he's done.
And if he wasn't smart enough to think of that, he's not going to be able to actually figure out who killed anyone. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be good for investigating. Yeah, this guy's an idiot.
What? He's trying to do a really nice thing.
I hate
thing.
This guy. I know. He's trying to do something nice. But no, you know what, though? This is a charity for his son, though.
Yeah, that is true. That's you know, like saying... I mean,
if he didn't have a kid with Down syndrome and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this thing for the Special Olympics. Okay, you know what? That's good. You went out of your way. It doesn't affect you. It's not going to help you at all. But his son participates in the Special Olympics. It's kind of like spending all this time to raise money for yourself.
It's like donating for his team, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, his league.
It's like starting your own charity and donating to it and saying, look what a good person I am.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know about that.
Well, isn't that what you're going to do your organization?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, society.
Well, I'm not pretending I give a shit about anyone else. I'm telling up front I'm going to be a selfish prick about this, about everything. So yeah, there you go.
You already announced the typo, the future typo.
Exactly. okay, moving on with the news. Let's go to Brazil. You say we go to Brazil for the next one? In Brazil, an armed man has heisted an 18-karat gold-plated vibrator selling for $4,000 at a luxury sex shop. Okay, there's so many things about this line that I think are cool. First of all, okay, this is why Brazil is awesome. Luxury sex shop. Not just, I mean, there's sex shops. In America, all there's sex shops.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a sex shop in America that could be considered a luxury sex shop.
And this
they're all kind of in the worst part of town. And half the time, there's a nun standing out in front to try to shame you into not going in. And the other half of the time, there's a hooker dressed as an nun trying. No, not really. But
no, I think you're right. Yeah.
And
that happens.
The 18 karat gold plated vibrator. That's just awesome.
And you know, it's in business. Like, you know, people are going. If it's a luxury shop, you know what I mean. It's managing to stay open. You know?
Well, you know, it's. How do you buy your wife the cheap plastic shit now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, if you bought your wife a ring and it turned out to be cubic zirconia and she found out, she'd be pissed.
Mm.
Now imagine if you buy your wife the plastic vibrator. She's just, really? Yeah. Oh, you couldn't get me the gold-plated one?
The luxury? Yeah.
Fine, I'll take this, and I think you're going to be sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, it's just going to create more problems. That's why you buy yourself, you know, the plastic.
Why do you want to buy yourself?
No, if I was a female, you know what I mean? Yeah, I would buy myself.
Where are you putting the one you're buying for yourself? Actually, here's the thing. If you're going to buy a vibrator for your girlfriend, get her one that is smaller than your own penis.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what? You're already at a disadvantage because it vibrates. Okay, so you don't want to give yourself the size disadvantage, too.
Exactly.
That way, I mean, they look at the little bitty vibrator you bought her, and you look at your penis, and she's like, let's use your dick. But, you know, if you're gonna, here, there's more of my masturbation advice. This isn't exactly masturbating. This is how helping your girlfriend masturbate. If you're going to buy her a vibrator that is smaller than your penis by at least a 50%.
50%.
At least 50%.
So half.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah. At least. Yeah. That way.
And that's a minimum. A choice, say at least.
Yeah, right, yeah. At least. That way, if it's a choice between the vibrator and your penis, she's going to choose your penis.
Yeah.
And if you can figure out a way to install a vibration device inside your penis, you should go for it.
And you should be an entrepreneur, too. You should be. Yeah. That's really innovative. Yeah.
Police say he walked into the Exotica Luxo store in Brasilia, tied up a clerk, and took the item from its display case. He stole nothing. Well, see, the nice thing about it is that he knew he was going to have to tie the clerk up, but he also knew that there were going to be all kinds of bondage shit there in the store, so he didn't have to actually bring a rope with him.
Yeah.
He could just take some stuff off of the shelves and use that to tie her up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Very frugal. I like that. Exactly. Yeah,
that's
nice.
That's why you want to. That's why you want to rob the sex shop store. Because, okay, we're robbing the place. We're going to have to tie you up. So where's the domination section?
Oh, right over there.
Right over there. Ooh, silk. That's actually, it wouldn't surprise me. He probably went to get, like, some nylon rope and to tie her up and says, wait, look, if you're going to tie me up, can you at least use the silk wraps?
Yeah.
it feels nicer against my skin. And, you know, I'm sure he was willing to oblige. You know, I'm
sure he's a great person. And
I think he was. I'll deal with that. it's the high season for erotic shops in Brazil. Is the nation, they celebrate their Valentine's Day in the middle of June.
Oh.
Which, I don't know why they felt the need to have their Valentine's Day a different time of year than us, but okay. So yeah, they've got their Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple weeks, so the sex shops are really busy. This was a bad time for their high ticket item to get stolen, I guess. The store owner, Vanessa Baldini.
She's the one who got tied up, correct?
Yeah, she got tied up. Okay. Actually, it doesn't say that she's the one who got tied up. It just says she's the store owner. The clerk got tied up. It doesn't have the name of the clerk.
Oh, okay.
She liked it. Yeah, she liked it. Well,
you're not going to put your name out there if you got tied up. Make sure to report me. I was tied up during this.
So the store owner, Vanessa Baldini, tells the G1 News website, the robber might get no satisfaction from the theft because there's a couple of things. The Swedish-made vibrator has a stainless steel core, making removing the gold plating extremely difficult. Okay, and then of course the robber forgot to take the vibrator's charger. So
this is going to be more of an ornament.
Can use it as a dildo, but the vibration is going to work. You got an hour and a half of pleasure, and then the battery's going to die.
Yeah.
do you have to use the gold plated batteries in the gold plated vibrator? They forgot to bring the charger, so. I don't know what he'll do, and I'll leave it up to his imagination. That's a quote from the owner.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. That's robbing a sex shop.
Don't seem to feel so bad about it. Please, if you can find him and locate this golden dildo and return it to us, because it's an expensive dildo, you know what I mean? Do you think they'd...
Well, you know what's going to happen is he's going to put on a disguise. He's going to go back into the store and try to buy the charger.
I
heard about the robbery, and you know, you have an extra charger, right? Well, I lost the charger for my gold plated dildo. It's a totally different gold plated dildo than the one you had, but can you just sell me that charger since you don't have the dildo with
it?
Well, you know, I need a charger for work and I need a charger for home, you know, because I'm never sure where I'm going to be when the battery runs out.
Exactly.
On my gold-plated dildo.
Yeah, he might have some luck with this. These sound pretty good. These are solid reasons, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics.
Yes.
And we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William Lushbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay. Welcome back.
Hey.
Continuing on with the news, I noticed a pattern in the news this week. It seems that there's a lot of cannibalism news, specifically this week.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't have surprised me so much if this were to happen in December, because, you know, the end of the world 2012 thing is supposed to be in December when the Mayan calendar ends. But this is June. I mean, is it just hot? Is that what's making everyone eat people?
Yeah, you're saying... I think this is great, though. I mean, it's like it's gonna. This is the one thing that can solve not only human starvation, but the
overpopulation.
Obesity epidemic. Yeah.
You know, if you're eating a person, they don't taste so good. You're not gonna eat so much.
Yeah.
And plus, you got to chase them down.
That seems really
the biggest problem, I think, for obesity. It's not necessarily just that we're eating too much; it's that we're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a great line from a doctor who works at the Inuits. You know, they eat blubber. They used to eat blubber, but they weren't fat then, and it's because they used to have to chase the blubber. And the body will forgive just about any kind of diet if you move around enough.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we switch to cannibalism, you're going to have to chase your meal or mm-hmm. at least fight it. Because so I think you're right. I think this might help with the obesity epidemic.
Yeah.
But there were several cannibalism stories this week. I think the biggest one was Rudy Eugene, age 31. He was shot and killed by Miami-Dade police after he refused to stop eating another man's face.
Refused?
Yes.
So they asked him, hey, can you stop eating that guy's face? We're going to need...
Pardon me. I'm sorry to disturb you. I can see you're busy, but would you please stop eating that person's face?
And he says, no.
I can't. He probably said something like "fuck off."
Oh yeah.
But he actually he turned to the cops and growled at them. Drug use is suspected.
Suspected?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. Is like everything I've always heard about drugs. Now, I've done pot a couple times, but I've never done anything harder than that. You know, I've been drunk on a couple occasions, but I've never done acid or LSD or mushrooms or any of that other stuff. But the one biggest thing that everyone who has done it always tells me is that it's not going to alter your personality, but it might intensify it.
Yeah, I mean, I've done both of those, and that it's you know kind of like that. I would never think that would happen.
Well, so that
find myself eating someone's face.
Yeah. So if this guy was on drugs, that would mean that secretly in his heart, he was always a cannibal.
Yeah.
he just never had the courage to pursue his true avocation.
Yeah, and LSD just was an outlet and just let him, you know, or the drug. Yeah,
or the drug. And some people think he's doing bath salts, which I'm still not entirely certain what that is.
I've heard. I have no idea what that is.
But I do know that the next time my sister says she's taking a bubble bath, I'm leaving town. Or, you know, my girl. If your girlfriend says she's going to take a bubble bath,
with salt.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Bath salt.
You check the cabinets. If she's got any bath salts, then you need to arm yourself.
Yeah.
Because she's going to be coming for you.
I think he was sober, and he's trying to say he was on drugs to justify, you know, him eating someone's face.
Well, you know, the big...
Go
ahead.
No, do you think that's a possibility is what I was saying?
That he was sober?
He's actually was sober during this time. No drug use, but he's trying to claim he did do drugs.
No, he's dead now. The cop shot him.
Oh, they shot him.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop eating the guy's face.
Oh, they shot him dead because he refused to eat the... Okay.
Which, that seems... you know, I have to... That's a good call. I'm really... I hope if someone's eating my face, someone else will shoot them.
Yeah. No, I don't want to shoot him.
You know, I wonder, did the person... whose face looks so delicious? You know, because I've said, you know, when I see a really hot chick, I've said I would like to eat her. But I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
And you know, if this guy had lived and he's got a girlfriend and she wants him to go down on her, he's got no excuses.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't like the taste. You ate a homeless man's face. Get to work.
He
ate a homeless guy's face. So if he's got a girlfriend and she wants him to go down, he's got no excuses.
It's bad because like it's not even like a I mean, it's a home. I mean, I'm not trying to be offensive, but it probably wasn't a hygienic face to eat.
Yeah, you know probably
I mean?
Not.
Like, I would want to eat, you know, someone who's probably, you know, their face, if they got like a lot of like fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, you know, find the 16-year-old kid with really clear skin.
Yeah.
And who just put the Clearasil on, so it's nice and smooth, and you know, it looks like he takes care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, don't eat the guy who with the pimples. Or actually, maybe it's just like, we, you know, people like greasy foods these days.
Oh, so that,
so maybe find a kid with pimples.
The face was like the fast food.
It could
of,
be,
yeah,
it might be
of
it.
Cannibalism.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
we are horrible human beings. Yeah, okay.
We shouldn't be laughing, right?
But yeah, there were some other cannibalism news stories. Let's see. Here's Luca Rocca Magnata. This is in Canada. He is suspected of having murdered people and mailed body parts to, like, politicians and stuff in Montreal. And so he's wanted for mail fraud. And... not really. Actually, he's wanted for murder, but it would be funny if he was wanted for mail fraud. Hartford County, and it doesn't say what state this is in, so I'm not. It is in the United States, but I don't know exactly where. Alexander Kunyua, a 21-year-old Morgan State University student. Where's any idea where Morgan State is?
Oh, I've heard.
You've heard?
That's what I usually say. I've heard, but I, you know, I don't know.
Maryland. Here it is. He ate the guy's... He killed his roommate and ate his roommate's heart and part of his brain. This sounds like a voodoo thing. It's like, you know, this is why if your roommate is a voodoo guy, you don't want to get much better grades than him. Because then he'll want to eat part of your brain and your heart in order to absorb your power. And, you know, it's like you're getting A's and he's getting a C-, and he's worried that his student visa is going to get canceled. So he'll kill you, sacrifice you to his voodoo gods or what. Well, of course, the voodoo is like a Haitian or Jamaican thing. But anyway,
yeah.
Just anyone who's got a weird religion, you just don't want to be their roommate if you get better grades than they do.
That's just like an emotional, like, cannibalism meal. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, he ate his heart and part of his brain. You know, that he ate those specific things means there was a purpose to it.
Yeah.
The purpose was psychopathic, but there's a purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's like artistic cannibalism.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
Well, now, if you want artistic cannibalism, you got this next one. This guy in Japan. Okay. Mao Sugiyama. And, you know, Japanese, I have no idea if I pronounce that right.
Yeah, he probably pronounces your name wrong.
So. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wonder if Oriental people will hold their eye open so it's more round and then say things like, I would like to order a hamburger, just to imitate white people. Because
yeah.
I know we, like, pull our eyes to the side and, like, how hard are you? Well, give me a sushi. You know,
yeah,
we
yeah,
do
the, yeah.
We do that racist shit. So I hope they do the opposite version of the racist shit.
I hope
shit.
They stoop down to our level. And yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would like to think they're not better than us. I would. Okay, so this guy, he considers himself to be asexual, which he's neither male nor female. But, of course, there's this whole dick and balls thing that was getting in the way of his chosen lifestyle. So he had them surgically removed. And then he offered to cook, season, and serve them to whoever would pay 100,000 yen. That's about $250.
Oh, wow.
Six people paid. Five people showed up. One of the people didn't show. That's a party I don't think I'd show up to. I would be more likely to show up to a circle jerk than to, hey, who wants to... eat my penis.
I mean, why would you pay and then not show up? That person should have
That's
shown
true.
Up.
That's true. Yeah, why yeah. would you pay and not show up? I mean, of all the things...
It's like you paid, get your balls, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
You know, if I were this guy, if one of these guys' checks bounces, I would be so pissed. I cut off my dick and balls for you and you bounced a check on me? Wow.
Well, that's
so, here's... He tweeted this on April 8th. Please retweet. I am offering my male genitals, full penis, testes, scrotum, as a meal for 100,000 yen. We'll prepare and cook as the buyer requests at his chosen location. On April 13th, five of six diners who signed up for the $250 a plate fee sat down to dinner. The sixth person was a no-show.
That's awful.
Wow. If you just... Okay. In the blog, which has subsequently been deleted, they actually posted pictures of the meal. I'm afraid to look at them.
They have images. So he... Yeah. It's not like they were just dick and balls. Like, he mixed them with other stuff?
He made a meal out of them. He, like, seasoned them and everything.
Oh, just, okay.
Wow.
Well, like you know, you were saying... you mentioned that he had to cook them. You know what I mean?
Yes. Offered to cook and season to like, you know, it's like, this is like not like eggs to order. I mean, like, yeah, seriously, yeah, whoever bought this stuff, you should have just gotten an omelet.
Nah.
I want a dick omelet. Okay, and the next.
What does he do now? Like, he's just like, I have no balls and dick.
Well,
and
he doesn't want to be considered either male or female. I mean, it's some sort of extreme version of a desire for equality.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, well, men and women are equal in all things, so why should we be either? I don't know that I really care to understand it.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna stick with the dick and balls I got.
Yeah.
And see how this works out.
It's good to pee out of and stuff.
Yeah, so. I don't know. How is he gonna go to the bathroom from now on, really? And, you know, I've heard of people who've gotten an amputation, and sometimes they have what they'll call a phantom itch, where it's like, let's say you got injured and you had to get your arm cut off.
Yeah.
And, like, your lower arm starts to itch. But it's not there because the nerve endings are cut off at your elbow. So it thinks your arm is still there. And if it starts to itch, but of course there's nothing to scratch. I wonder if this guy's balls ever itch.
If they're good. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What he does to scratch them. If you ever find out, actually don't.
He just starts cooking.
Yeah. Next, a man accused of eating his wife's lips. A former employee of a Swedish medical university is accused of cutting his wife's lips off and eating them.
That's romantic.
He allegedly flew into a rage after he became suspicious that his much younger wife was having an affair. So he cut off her lips and ate them. He said he ate them because he didn't want the lips to be able to be sewn back on. I have to tell you, if I suspected that my girlfriend were sucking someone else's dick, I would not want to eat her lips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not after that.
At least I'd wash them off first.
Maybe he was kind of like, it was kind of like, you know, like, those lips are mine kind of thing. He was trying to. You
know, and he's going to prove that they're his?
Yeah, yeah. And so he, like, literally, you know, consumed them.
That's possible. Okay, sorry about that. All of a sudden, it stopped recording. Here we go again. All right, so was there something else you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, just those lips. Those lips are officially his. You
know, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Those lips are his, and there's really no way to dispute it anymore. And our sixth and final cannibalism story for the week: a New Jersey man is in critical condition after repeatedly stabbing himself with a 12-inch knife and throwing his intestines at the cops. Wayne Carter, who has a history of psychiatric problems, had barricaded himself inside his Hackensack, New Jersey home when the gruesome event took place on Sunday. So he was spotted cutting himself with a knife when the cops arrived on the scene. He refused to drop his weapon, waving it along with a hammer at the officers, then repeatedly stabbed himself in the legs, abdomen, and neck. They tried to talk him down, had no luck. He pulled his intestines out of his own body, threw them at the cops.
Oh, my God.
He's still alive. Wow.
Okay,
you know what? Let it go. I mean, let him die. Okay, tell me I'm a horrible human being. Go ahead. Say it.
Well, let's find out. What do you? What?
You're horrible. If I'm a cop, and I show up, and the guy is threatening to hurt himself if I don't back away. And I was like, look, I can't just leave you like this. I mean, you're obviously upset, and you have a weapon, and you know if you might end up he might end up hurting someone else, so I can't just leave. And then he starts stabbing himself, and then he pulls his own intestines out and throws them at me. I would call an ambulance and tell them to take their time.
Yeah, because just let him, you know, destroy.
Just let him go.
Fix the problem.
Let him go. There's some people we're not going to save. You know, it's just, I think that's something we need to accept.
How was that even a that was a cannibalism story. Did he eat anyone?
Well, he didn't eat anyone, but it's still, it's like, you know, pulling his own body parts out and throwing them at people, you know.
Well, at least he didn't eat any of it.
The scene was a bloody mess. The SWAT team members had to be decontaminated due to the amount of blood. Wow. So, yeah, it's a lot of cannibalism news this week. I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, I mean, if, like I said before, if it were December when the Mayan calendar were ending, I would understand it. But I don't see the zombie apocalypse happening in the beginning of June. Well, we're actually out of time. Thanks for coming out to the show. You got anything coming up in the next week or two you want to talk about?
In about a few hours, I guess I'm going to go do a competition, and in Selma.
Not going to be. The show won't be posted in time for that. But yeah. You have anything coming up in the next week or so?
Oh yeah, why would I mention that? We're starting the Full and 55 open mic on Tuesdays, the first and third Tuesday, and
The first one is, I don't know if this will be posted in time, but June 5th, the open mic at Fulton 55, it starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, we don't need to explain dates or times here. Just Fulton 55's website, you'll end up seeing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Fulton 55 website. Do you have any other shows coming up?
Other than that.
And then the second and fourth Tuesday, the second and fourth Mondays, you've got shows there also, and those will be on the website.
Yeah.
All right.
Far as me performing, I don't know. I'll randomly get a call from Ty Palms every once in a while.
Yeah, and of course, Ty Palms, their show on their showcase show every Wednesday night, and they have an open mic there on Mondays, and the open mic at Fat Boys on Thursdays. And I'll be performing at the Fulton 55 show on Monday, June 25th.
Yeah.
And I guess that's about it. Hey, thanks a lot for coming out to the show.
Appreciate it.
It's good to see you again. This is JT Foreman here with William Leshbaugh with Bitter Comics, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Goodbye.